Well, awesome, you guys. We're talking about crisis and storm and trial. And I grew up in Texas, and I remember one time walking home, and I looked up, and there was like a tornado funnel cloud forming like right outside of our neighborhood. And I remember being so gripped with kind of like this fear, you know, as a kid, like, wow, that's a storm. It's something that sits outside of me, that's beyond me, that I can't control, but it has a bearing on me. And so as we look at storms and crisis, we all probably understand that feeling. And again, we're kind of walking in that feeling right now. Now we're in a storm called COVID-19, and again, that's leading to other storms. And I wanted to start this morning with this portion of the teaching and just say this, is that I think sometimes we have this subtle misconception in Christianity that if we're, like, I'll use air quotes here, like, if we're doing it right, we won't be in crisis. Like, that actually, like, our Christianity's not working, or that somehow we've done something wrong, and if we were doing it right, we wouldn't be in crisis. And that actually isn't biblical. If you look at the Bible, I wrote this down in my notes, is we feel like God is with us if we don't experience a trial. And I wrote this, our championing statement in our mindset could be like this: this Christian thing is really working out. I am so safe. And so really the idea, you guys, is that we think our Christianity is effective when we're not experiencing a trial. And I would propose to us this morning that our Christianity can be most effective and most real and most drawn upon when we are in a crisis. And the Bible doesn't say that if God is in our life and God's working, we won't experience a crisis. The Bible says that God will be with us in the crisis, and that's the power of Christianity. And so for some of us, we have these kind of subtle things that start to take over, like that storms and trials are punishment for our misdeeds. And we know that biblically that's not true. We do understand that we can do things that cause us trial and challenge, but then that's us doing it. It's not God punishing us for it. And you can read about that in John 9, 2 and 3, that God is not punishing us with a trial. Some of us might feel like God puts us in a storm for our own good. Like, well, I just need to, you know, deal with this. And here's what I would say, is that God can use every storm and trial, but God doesn't send every storm and trial. And so you think about, oh, well, God puts me in a storm for my own good. That works when it's like a small trial, like maybe losing a job, which I know is not a small thing, but compared to like a child with cancer or a debilitating brain disease or something, that's a small storm. And so that thing of, oh, well, you know, that's how God does it. He just teaches us through trials and storms. Well, I think all storms are not from him, but he can use all storms. And so so that doesn't kind of play out. And then storms and trials mean that God is asleep at the wheel, or that he doesn't exist. And again, I think these are misconceptions that we get into crisis and we're like, oh, this is what's happening. So I want to share one other personal story, and then I'm going to share some scriptures and points with us. But on our 10-year anniversary, Pastor Eric and I, it was during a storm, actually. I don't know if maybe some of you guys will remember this. It was a season in 2010, and yes, I'm dating myself. But it was our 10-year anniversary, and we were actually getting ready to go to dinner. And it had been storming for several days and raining. The ground was saturated. And we were all dressed up, and we were ready to go. And as the power was out, and as we were walking to go out the door, we heard water running somewhere. And we're like, is a faucet on? Like, what's? And I remember walking down the stairs with a flashlight, and there was a window in our basement, and there was water pouring down the window there, like onto my desk. I had papers, I had a screen. It was just pouring on, and no power, nothing. And it was just like a waterfall onto my desk. And I remember us, you know, obviously trying to figure it out. So I grab a shovel, I go outside, I'm like trying to dig a trench around our house in the rain, in the dark, and in my clothes. I'm supposed to be out on it. And we have a picture, a selfie of us tearing out drywall in our basement and tearing up carpet on our 10-year anniversary. And I got reflecting on that storm and that crisis moment. And I wrote these down for us, is that storms have a way of exposing flaws and weaknesses around our foundation. That's what storms do. They kind of rattle the foundation, and they have a way of stopping our plans. It was like, I'm going to dinner. It's 10-year anniversary. It's like, not anymore. Now you're digging a trench around your house with a shovel. So they have a way of stopping our plans, and they have a way of making us stop and examine our priorities and what's really important at the moment. And I think that as we've gone into this storm and this trial and this crisis, those are the exact things that are happening. And when we enter into those moments, I think what the Bible would say to us is not, oh, well, you're doing it wrong. Oh, God is mad at you. Oh, you're receiving a reward from God. He's punishing you for something. Or, well, this storm's from God. You just need to bear up under it because he's sending it to show you something. I think what we need to understand is that the Bible says storms will come, crisis will come, trial will come. God will be with you in the middle of it, and you can walk with him in the middle of it. John 16:33 says, I have told you, this is Jesus talking, he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we're in a COVID-19 storm that's creating a lot of other storms. So what do we do? So if you're a note taker, 3 points for you. We'll throw these in your comment thread today. But three ways to engage a trial. Number one is to focus on what God is doing instead of what God isn't doing. And it's amazing and fascinating to me, and this is all over the Bible, is that when we are in a trial or a storm, one of our first things that we do is we start to question whether God is present or whether God really cares or whether he is like concerned at all about us. And so in Mark 4, 35 through 41, there's a story in the Bible, and Jesus says to his disciples, they were at one part of a lake, and they're going to go across, and he says this in I'll read Mark 4, verse 35 here. It says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. So they're going to cross over the lake there, the sea. I say lake. It wasn't like a little lake. It was like substantial. And they're going to cross over to the other side. And Jesus says that. And then in verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along in the boat. There were other boats with him. Verse 37. A furious squall came up, a storm, a crisis, a trial. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. It was a bad storm. These were professional fishermen. These are professional people that have been in boats. They were freaking out. They were really terrified. Okay. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, and here it is, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And it's so funny to me that when we go through a crisis, a lot of times our first thing is not like, hey, God, I'm freaking out down here. I'm really afraid. Will you be with me? It's we jar Jesus awake in a sense. And we don't say, would you help me? What we say is, don't you care? Like, what are you doing? Do you not realize we're in a storm? And here's the thing. Jesus was God in the flesh. He knew they were in a storm. He knew the storm was coming before it came. He had said to them something. He said, we're going to go to the other side. And he was resting. He got up, he rebuked the wind and the waves, be still, be quiet. The wind died down, it was completely calm. Then the disciples said, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you not have faith? Like, they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. Here's the deal, the storm was real, but in the storm, they didn't go to him and say, I'm afraid, I'm scared, would you help me? What they said is, don't you care? And I think we need to pay attention to that, because I think so many times in crisis, we get subtly lured away from, hey, God, would you be with me and help me? And what we get lured into is, hey, God, don't you care? Why aren't you doing something? God, what's wrong with this situation? And we actually turn and we actually stop looking at what God is doing, which is that he's promised to be with us and he is walking and offering us hope and peace and, by the way, rest, because that's what he was doing. And we actually start to go, hey, God, don't you care? And I think that's a subtle shift that we need to be really careful of. And we need to look at what God is doing instead of what he's not doing. God, don't you care if we drown? God, where are you? God, why is this happening? God, why am I so lonely? Why is this so hard? And Jesus says, do you not remember what I said to the disciples? He said, do you not remember I said we're going to the other side? I did not say we're going to die at sea in a storm. I said we're going to the other side. We're doing something here. Remember my words. Remember what I said. And in a storm, instead of questioning God about what he's not doing, what we need to do is remember and lean back into what God is doing. We're going to the other side. We're going to make it. And you go, okay, Pastor Scott, yeah, great. Well, you know, what is God doing? He's resting. And, you know, I think that actually the safest thing that the disciples could have done, as crazy as this sounds to our mind, is what if they would have, like, grabbed a cushion and settled up next to him in the stern, in the bow of the boat? What if they're like, hey, you know what? God's not freaking out. I'm gonna be with him. That's what I'm going to do. So, you know what? Let's focus on what he is doing, because Jesus was resting. And maybe sometimes in the middle of a storm and a crisis, we could look to God and say, oh, God, wait, you said we're going to the other side. You said we're going to make it, so I'm going to trust you and I'm going to rest with you. John 14:27, this is Jesus. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And you go, well, that's really cute, isn't it, Pastor Scott? Look how cute that is. You know, Jesus just patting us on the head and pacifying us. No, he said that the night before he was arrested, brutally beaten, and went to a cross and was crucified for the sins of the world. So that was given in a storm, in a trial. So what trial would quiet down in our life if we kind of ceased being disgruntled about what God's not doing and started looking at what he is doing? Number two is that, what do we need to do in a storm? What crisis is, what do we need to do? We need to focus on what needs to change in us. And I'm going to move through this point pretty quick, but I shared something this week. We're doing something called a lunchtime lift up, and just, you know, a couple minutes to just kind of bring some encouragement throughout the day, and we'll be doing those this week as well. By the way, if those are helpful to you, man, make sure to like them or share them, whatever you want to do, and let's get those out to people if you think they're beneficial. But I shared this week, and I shared this idea that in a crisis or a storm or a trial, our wounds, the places of vulnerabilities in us, they're going to get punched. So if you have a weakness in your personality, if you have a place of vulnerability, if you have a wound from the past, you know, guess what? In a storm or a crisis, as the foundation shakes, that thing's going to get punched. So just get ready for that. And instead of going like, you know, I'm yelling up, why am I yelling at my kids and kicking my dog? And don't really kick your dog, that's bad. But whatever it is, and you're freaking out, instead, why don't we take that moment and step back and say, hey, God, something in the foundation is shaking. Something in vulnerability in me is getting punched. God, let me follow that and figure out what you might want to do there. And there's this idea in 2 Chronicles 20 where God's people are confronted with an external force. It's a storm. It's a crisis. Three armies are coming against them. And it says they're terrified and they don't know what to do. And it says the armies are coming quickly. They're a day out, and it says that it's an overwhelming force coming against them. And they're really terrified. So they say this in 2 Chronicles 20, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And then they go into battle worshiping, and it says that the three armies turn on each other in the valley, defeat each other. They all retreat and run. And in the valley, there is gold that it takes them 3 days to pick up. So I will say it like this. There is gold in the valley behind the battle we're afraid of. And in a crisis and in a storm, when the foundations are shaking, we're afraid sometimes to move into the places that are shaking, that are quivering, that are getting punched, our vulnerabilities, our places of frustration, our places of fear. We're afraid, and so we'll avoid those battles. What if in a storm, the second thing we might do is to actually lean into what might need to change in us and understand that God can use any storm and God can do something like that. And I will promise you, there is gold in the valley behind the battle you've been avoiding. And outside of a crisis, we will not confront those battles because we don't want to, because it's really hard and it's really scary. But in a battle, in a crisis, when it comes externally toward us, if we lean in and we say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know why I freaked out like that. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you and I'm going to lean into that. There's gold in that valley. And the second thing we can do in a crisis is we can look at what needs to change in us, and we can trust that God is going to walk with us through that. We can face the trial and we can change. And James 1 says this, says Paul says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So we know that we have an opportunity in a crisis when our foundation shakes to go back and address the foundation, and we know that there's gold in that valley. Number three is we need to shift our focus from the storm or the trial to who's with us in the storm or the trial. And, you know, here's the deal. God walks with us through storm, trial, and tribulation and crisis. And he's with us now, and he's available to us. And so this is the quote that really stuck in my soul this week that I really feel like is kind of the capstone for this. And I want to read it to you. It says, true peace is not found in the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. And I think if we get that, it changes everything. That true peace is not found in the absence of a crisis. True peace is not found in, well, if COVID-19 would just go away, and we pray that it will go away, and we are praying that it will go away, and we believe God's a healer, and we believe he'll do that, and we're believing and standing and praying for that. And here's the other thing, that true peace doesn't come when COVID-19 goes away. True peace comes when we understand we're in the presence of God. And that's where peace comes from, because trials and storms and tribulations will keep coming. And that is the Bible. That's truth. And so we're not looking to get away from the crisis. We're looking at the one who's with us in the crisis. And in Daniel 3, there's a story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And for time's sake, I won't build all that out right now. But there are three Jewish young men who are told from an external force that they should bow to a different God. And they say, I will not do that. And they say to the king of the time, they say this, they say, our God is able to deliver us from your hand. But even if he doesn't deliver us from your hand, we're not going to bow to you or worship your gods. And so the king's very angry. He decides to throw them into a fire, into a furnace. It's like the death sentence. And so anyway, it says that he heats the furnace up 7 times hotter than it normally should be. And they go and the servants throw the men in the fire and they're bound up. And it says that it's so hot that even the servants that carried them up into the fire die. And then something crazy happens. That there's three, it says, the king says, I see, again, I'm paraphrasing it for you, but the king says, were there not three people that we threw in the fire? And they're like, oh, great, you can't even count now. Yeah, simple arithmetic. Yes, there was three that we threw in the fire, king. And the king says, because I see four of them walking around in there. And one of them looks like the Son of God. And they call the boys out, and they come out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible says that they were not burned, and they didn't even smell like smoke. And through a trial and a crisis, there is a fourth one that walks in the fire with us. And as we walk through this crisis and trial, the third thing that we can do in a crisis is to get our eyes off of the trial and the crisis and get onto the one who walks with us in the trial and the crisis. Because God is with us, and true peace doesn't come when the crisis ends. True peace comes from being in the presence of God, to be with God. Hebrews 13, God says, "Never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you." In Romans 8, it says, "Nothing can separate me from the love of God." In Psalm 121, it says, "The Lord watches over you. He will not let your foot slip. The Lord watches over your life. The Lord watches your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." And in Proverbs 10:25, it says, "When the storm has swept by, when the crisis has come, when the trial has gone through, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever." And so I just wanted to say this morning, as we kind of close this portion, is who's with you in the storm? And the third thing that we need to do is to shift our focus from the storm into the one who's with us in the storm, because true peace is not found in the absence of problems, but true peace is found in the presence of God. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to invite you to ask yourself a question. Is specifically in the trial and the crisis that we're currently walking through, corporately, we understand that. But for you personally, where is the thing that you're walking through right now? What are you walking through? Where is the corporate crisis hitting you the most personally? And I want to ask you this morning to go to God in that place. And I want actually this morning to ask you to invite God. And that number one, the three things we would do is that number one is that we would get our eyes off of what God is not doing and get it onto what God has already done and what God is doing. And number two, we would say, "Hey, God, would you show me in the things that are shaking, what battles do I need to confront and lean into, God, because I know there's gold in the valley behind that. So God, show me where I need to change. God, show me what I need to do." And then the third one is to get our eyes off of the storm itself and get our eyes onto the one who's with us in the storm. And so I want to invite you to do that this morning. Wherever you need to do that in your life, would you just listen for the Holy Spirit this morning? What is he speaking to you? And where do you need to pray and leave us and forsake us? God, will you remind them, God, that you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God, you're a one who set up a system in which we cannot be taken out of your hand and we cannot be separated from your love. God, you're one who came and said, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give you, not as the world gives. My peace cannot be touched and cannot be taken away." And Jesus, you said that on your way to the cross, so we know that that's good for us in whatever crisis and trial we're in right now. So God, right now, we invite you, God, into the storm, into the crisis. We invite you to come and to be with us. And we know that you're with us already, but God, we orient our mind to that. We orient our faith to that. We orient our expectation to that. God, I thank you for hope stirring again. And God, I thank you, God, for vision again and dreams again. God, I thank you that fear would be run off, God. As we talked about last week, we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I pray that over each and every one of us right now in Jesus' name. And God, we open our hearts to you. And we ask you to come in and to be with us, to come in and to minister to us. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you do that? And guys, here's what we're going to do. I want to give you just a moment to just listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. And our team's just going to sing a chorus briefly over us. And I want to ask you to ask God to come and to be with you in the storm, wherever it is. So let's go ahead and sing this out together.